Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Right, just thought we'd get this party started. Cheers, Noah. Cheers. Oh, apple. We've got apple tonight. Nice. When was the last time you had some of this? There's a reason why you haven't. No, that's not bad, mate. Does anyone see any issue with this? I don't want to know what you do at home. I'm just asking. With this. Well, I hope you do. It'll become clear why I actually did this. Noah's a bit upset, mate. No offense. I didn't do it to tease you or anything like that, mate. Just relax. It's all good. It's all good. We're doing a series on faith. And sometimes in life, this is where we are meant to start. But the sad thing is, this is where a lot of people stay. And tonight I just want to kind of like just preach a challenging, encouraging word that we're called to have faith as a child to enter the kingdom of heaven, but we're not called to remain in a childlike state. We're supposed to grow and develop. You know, we've been talking about faith, and there's a lot of good stuff, and you can listen to the podcast about that. But, you know, we're talking about our desire is that for every single one of us, which is possible, there's an opportunity that we can all take personal responsibility for, to grow in our understanding, our belief, our trust of knowing who God is and our belief of what God can do. And that's my heart's desire as your pastor, is that we are a people who know our God and we do great exploits. And so wherever you find yourself now is not the end point, but God is wanting to stir and increase faith in this house, because we've been able to achieve so much, but there is so much more to do. And so it's going to require a greater faith from all of us individually. And as we all individually grow and begin to increase in our measure of faith and belief in what God can do corporately, that's just such a wonderful blessing. And it just means that we end up being a whole much more vibrant, courageous expression of the love of God in this community, which is so needed. I just want to kind of like just make sure that our foundation tonight is the same before we kind of launch into where I want to try and land this thing tonight. But in Mark chapter 10, Jesus is doing his thing. He's ministering in miracles, signs and wonders. And there was a whole bunch of kids kind of wanted to come and just hang out with Jesus and get close to Jesus. And the disciples kind of just get in their mode and zone, and they try to kind of repel, get rid of the kids. But Jesus has this conversation. When Jesus saw what the disciples were doing, he was angry with them. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them." Have a listen to this. "For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Isn't that encouraging, that all we have to do is have the faith of a child or the faith of a mustard seed? This is where it starts. To enter into the kingdom of God. We don't need some theological degree, a PhD. We don't need years of exponential kind of experience and understanding of who God is. It's just like this childlike faith of like, wow, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he did what he did upon the cross, burial and resurrection. And upon the confession of that faith, I am born again. As it says in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So the logic progression here is that I've got the faith as of a child, that I can be born again and I can enter into the kingdom of God. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17, and this is good news for all of us in this house tonight, is that therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have made new. Yeah. Isn't that good news? So it doesn't matter how old, how young you are, what you have or haven't done, when we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, in that instant we are saved, we are born again, and the Spirit of God comes to dwell within us. What an incredible privilege that is. And the old is gone, and we get to start life afresh. We have to sometimes live with the consequences in our humanity with the consequences of some of the decision and actions that we've got. Of course, that's the reality of life. But spiritually, we get to start brand new. We've got this brand new start where we can just take on life in a whole new and living way that God, through the power of His Spirit, with us, for us, guiding, leading, directing, empowering, giving us the courage, the wisdom, the creativity that we need to be able to go through life, all starts in that moment upon the confession of our faith. Isn't that good news? I don't know about you, but I find that very good news. So we're called to have childlike faith to enter into the kingdom of God. But I want to remind us tonight that that's not where God wants us to stay. He wants us to go and He wants us to grow. He wants both for our lives. We see threaded throughout Scripture, throughout the New Testament, there's too many to mention, but there's a couple of key ones I want to touch on, where there is this reminder, if you like, that we're all, every single one of us is called to keep on going and keep on growing. 1 Peter 1, verse 22, through to chapter 2, verse 3 says this. Just flowing on from what I've just said about salvation and being born again and entering into the kingdom of God, it says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flowers fall away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Going into chapter 2. Therefore, laying aside or cast away or put aside all malice or deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. As newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word. Why? That you may what? Grow. That you may what?
Grow.
If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So there's this idea that we start off with childlike faith, that we begin to be fed on the milk, if you like, the pure milk of the word, and then we are called to grow. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, 1 and 2 actually says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you. I love the way Paul writes sometimes. He's writing to the Corinthians. Like, he's pretty brutal and he's pretty blunt with his words. He doesn't mix his words. He's kind of been working with these guys, writing to these guys, encouraging, exhorting. The word of God, as he wrote to Timothy, is for encouraging, it's for teaching, it's for edifying, it's for rebuking, and it's correcting. Which ones do you like? Which ones of those do you like? Bring on the rebuking and bring on the correcting, right? Maybe not. But he writes and he says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able. What do you want at the moment? What are you taking? Are you just still on milk, or are you actually starting to get onto some steak? Starting to get onto some solids or tofu, if you like. Whatever you fancy, some broccoli, some cauliflower, some salmon, or are you still on milk? I love this out of Hebrews 5, just continuing on in this whole thought about growth and developing. It talks about chapter 5, verse 12 through to 6, verses 1 to 3. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, not chronologically, but spiritually, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The peril, in the next couple of verses, it talks about some challenges. It says, therefore, verse 1 of chapter 6, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundational truths, the elementary truths, if you like. And in chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, we see these elementary truths. The things as believers, if we profess faith in Christ, there should be some key basic principles that we actually have a really clear understanding of. They're the foundation from which we build. In our D101 course, we unpack these things, which is repentance. It's faith in God, this series that we're in right now, the faith in God, have a clear understanding of what that is and how we can grow in that. Use the word baptisms here as another one of the elementary truths. Baptisms is actually plural there. And I would say there is four baptisms, and you can do D101 to find out about that. It also talks about another one of the elementary truths in Hebrews 6, 1-3 is laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. So those things are considered as elementary truths. I mean, how do you go with those ones? Because, like, you know, if we don't have those kind of sorted out, then maybe we're trying to kind of like bite off more than we can chew. Maybe we need to just get some things down pat, get it rock solid, so God can actually build the right building upon the right foundation. It's a good challenge. So are you on milk or are you on some solids? See, as I was preparing this message, this series about faith, I was kind of like actually led to 1 Corinthians 13, where, you know, the last verse in there is that these three remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest is love. So I thought this series could actually be about faith, hope, and love. And when I was looking at the actual kind of topic of love, where would you go? Well, 1 Corinthians 13, right? You know, used in pretty much most weddings you go to, and it's kind of what I believe and hold to as the greatest literature representation or definition of love that we have. It's just magnificent. There's no comparison as far as I'm concerned. And you have this great kind of expose and insight and definition into love. And then he starts to talk about kind of like everything that we do should be out of that kind of love and expressed through that love. Talking about gifts in part, but love will endure. The gifts will be no longer when we're in heaven, but love will remain. Love will endure. Love is forever. And then it throws in this verse, and this is where I want to come out of tonight to kind of like try to stretch us a little bit and get us to maybe be thinking about some of the ways, reasons for why we're not actually growing in our faith. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's pray. Well, I guess you and I are ready, Michael, so that's good. Anyone else ready?
Yeah.
All right, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, we're going to pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity we have tonight to gather together, as Mark has said, and as the worship team have just beautifully herded a whole group of cats here tonight together. Everyone here has just had a different kind of a day, a different kind of a week, and they just did a great job tonight, Father. I just want to pray your blessing upon them. For Lord God leading us and for you graciously manifesting your presence in this place so graciously. That Lord God, you began something at the start of this service, and Father, I hold to your word that you who begin a good work will bring it through to completion. So whatever needs to happen in the atmosphere right now in Jesus' name, whatever needs to happen in people's minds and thoughts, whatever battle is raging, whatever distractions are coming right now, whatever things are starting to try to pull people this way or that way, right now in the name of Jesus, we just call all of that captive to the power of the Holy Ghost in this place. So that, Father, you could come and do what only you can do, the miraculous, the supernatural, the saving, the healing. And so, Father, right now we just honor you. And I just declare that Jesus Christ is Lord of this meeting. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We honor you, Holy Spirit, to do what you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. So after this amazing kind of expose and definition of love, you get this verse. In verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But, everybody say but. Don't you love those big buts in the Bible? There's some big buts in the Bible, and I reckon this is one of them. But when I became a man, I put away. Turn to the person next to you and say, put away. Put it away, put it away, put it away now. Put it away. And if you have no idea what that means, don't worry. Don't put it away. Just don't. But I put away childish things. Put away childish things. I just want to explore a little bit about this particular verse. And how it relates, I think, to each of us individually around ways in which we can be limited in growing in our faith. So the first thing I notice here in this verse is when I was a child. When I was a child. Do you know anyone that's still like a child? Kind of regardless of chronological age, they're just still a child. I'm not talking about just being a big kid or, you know, just wanting to have fun and you kind of like you have fun. I'm not talking about that. But sometimes I reckon there are some people that just haven't changed. They haven't grown. They haven't stepped out of where they've been or where they were at a particular point in time. And quite often, you know, sometimes you talk to those people and they just go, well, this is just who I am. That's just a really convenient excuse to stay stuck. Yeah. I really like it when people say that to me because I see it as a challenge. I'm just like, bring it on. Because you are living way beneath what God has got for you. When you say, this is just who I am, that means that you have a very small understanding of who God is. What you're basically saying is God can't change me. Or you're just going, I won't let God change me. But you see, most people that kind of like are like that, that just haven't shifted, it means because they're kind of stuck. And normally when you start to explore that, there's usually a reason for why they're stuck. Something's happened at some point in time in life, and generally it's a difficult time, a hard time, stuff didn't go the way it went, they thought it was going to go, all of that kind of thing. And they just get stuck. And so their experience and expression and engagement with life kind of like is only going to get them to that point, or they'll only allow people in so far up until where they got to at that point in time, but no further. And so usually there's a reason why they're stuck. So when we're talking about that, when I was a child, are you still a child? Are you stuck? Is there a reason why kind of like for 6 months, 12 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years or whatever, that kind of like you've just not grown in the area of your faith? Are you stuck in any area of your life? Because as I've said, you know, Scripture is so full of references and challenges to us, and there's a call for us to go and to grow and to learn, to increase our level of awareness and our intimacy with Christ. And so it's talking about being a child. And then Paul uses some specific words, speaking, understanding, and thinking. And he's really intentional about the way he writes, and there's very good reason for that. So when you think about those three things, can actually give you a pretty good insight into where somebody's maturity level is at. So let's just explore some of those words. So it says here that I spoke as a child. You know, we know that babies, they speak a certain way. You know, kind of like they make certain noises and they cry. They make sounds to communicate that they're either hungry or their nappy's full or whatever the case may be. As a parent, you pick up on those noises and sounds, and then they, you know, smiley faces and raspberries and dribbling and drooling and all that sort of stuff. At some point, they start to articulate more noise, and they may start to make some single-syllable words, and then there's a couple of words strung together, you know, and then there's maybe a sentence, and then as they get older, hopefully, you know, we can begin to dialogue and have a conversation, understanding and reasoning, and that sort of stuff is in there, and then teenage boys go back to grunting and stuff, you know, but we won't get into that. But, you know, generally speaking, there's a progression. And in our spiritual life, there should be a progression in the way in which we speak. Yeah. And so can I just ask, has your speech changed in the last year? Let's just think about the last year. Has your speech changed for the better, for the worse, or stayed the same? I mean, what kind of words are coming out of your mouth? Are the words that you have in conversations, I'm not talking about being so-called intellectually smarter. I'm talking about understanding what the Word of God as to what kind of speech we should actually be having. God's not impressed by your intellectual prowess. Just let you know the secret, he's a little bit smarter than you and I. But he's going, is our conversation, are our words seasoned with grace and with salt? Are we speaking the truth more than we did before? Yeah. Are we doing that in love and not using the excuse, well, the truth hurts, so I can just speak my mind and just tell them? Maybe not. Are we more encouraging and edifying of the people that are around us? Are you known and described as an encourager, as Michael referred to last week, I think it was? Is there kind of less talk about you? Is there less vain talk? Is there less profanity? Is there less swearing that comes out of your mouth? Is there less foul language or involvement in crude jokes and things like that? Because I spoke as a child. And you see the reference that there should be a progression in our speech. And how do we respond in given situations now compared to 12 months ago? When something presses our buttons, are we actually responding in a different way to when we were 12 months ago? Has there been progression? Or are you actually kind of just going, you know what, I need to walk away before I say something I'm going to regret? and give yourself some time to calm down, process, then come back to it after you've actually processed and reasoned it. So just think about your conversations. Think about the words that you use. What about your posts? Engaging with cyber world, what kind of language do you use? Is it reflective of language that Jesus would use? It's getting very quiet in here. Yes. You know, the Bible says very clearly that out of the heart the mouth speaks. And so Paul writes here and he's saying that when I was a child, I spoke as a child. And so when we come into that relationship with Jesus, we have baby speech. And then as we grow, there should be a maturing in our speech according to how God directs and leads us. Are there more words of life and blessing than gossip, whinging, moaning? Is there less negative talk coming out of our mouths than there was 12 months ago? I mean, I like the way that Michael kind of highlighted that last week when the negative people kind of like got around Jesus and told him, look, don't bother the master anymore. She's dead. Don't worry about it. Sort of Eeyore out of Winnie the Pooh and stuff. Just like all negative. And what did Jesus do? Ignore them. Got rid of them. There are times we're called to love people, but what voices are we listening to? But in this situation, let's not be one of them negative people. Let's not be the negative people. I mean, as Christians, we should be the most encouraging people. And guess what? You might not get a whole bunch of it in return. But isn't that what we're called to do? Isn't that kind of like if we're motivated by unconditional love, then our speech should be, I'm going to encourage, not because I want people to encourage me back. I'm just called because that's what Jesus is asking me to do. If I'm going to actually represent Jesus well in any forum or environment, I want to be described as somebody, hey, I love chatting with Phil. I just always, like, he's just always encouraging. Always find something specific. Can I just say, in your encouragement, be specific. Don't be vague. You know, you look nice today. No, hey, you know what? I really like your nails. Is that shellac or is that S&S? And gee, those eyebrows are on point. I'm just saying. Can tell I live in a house full of girls, right? Mate, you must have been working out. Great guns. Don't know, I can talk bloke talk as well, all right? Just... But like, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. What about the next one? It says that I understood as a child. Can I just say, this point in and of itself is a key to life, people. If you have issues in making friends, keeping friends, listen to what the Word of God has to say. This can help you so much in work, in life, in your marriage, in your relationships with people. You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson said this, it is a luxury to be understood. It's a luxury to be understood. Very insightful. That's so true, because all of us, yeah, I wish I was understood. I wish people understood me. Flip the script for a second. Do you know what that tells me? Is that people will really appreciate when I make the effort to understand them. So it's not about you. Seek to understand other people. And more than likely, this is probably going to happen anyway, because we live in a majority in a narcissistic society. Nobody's going to ask you a question. But don't be one of the people that doesn't ask questions. Let's not be those people. And so, like, that's how I read that quote. It's not like, yeah, oh, gee, I wish people understood me. I mean, if I could get up and whinge as good as anyone in this room about, you know, no one asks me how I'm going. No one asks me to do this or that. Most of the time, people don't want me there because they don't want me to see what they're doing. But anyway, that's another conversation. So I could whinge and moan as good as anyone in this room. I can guarantee you that. My wife will attest to that. But it's like, it's a luxury to be understood. Could you imagine if we make the effort to actually understand others? See, Proverbs 5:1 says this, my son, give attention to my, this is God speaking, my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding. And we know Proverbs 3:5, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. You see the contrast there? How often do we lean on, give attention to our own wisdom, or we give ear to our own understanding? I can make this fit my lifestyle. I can justify my lifestyle and stuff. I can make this fit. No, it's not about making this fit my lifestyle. It's about my lifestyle fitting that. And you know what's wedged in between those two chapters, chapter 5 and chapter 3? Chapter 4, deep. I'm just making sure you're listening. That's all. has no relevance to this message. No, it does. Chapter 4 says, get wisdom, exclamation mark. Get understanding, exclamation mark. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, referencing wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Verse 7, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Get understanding, people. If you want to embellish, if you want dynamic, long-lasting, fulfilling, satisfying relationships, get a grip of this. If you want dynamics of relationships at work to change for the better, get a grip on this. Here's why. In terms of children's understanding, so you would assume there should be a progression in life as there is physically we grow, but there should be a progression in our lives of our understanding from being a baby, being a child, up until being what is meant to be a mature adult, right? Do you agree? There should be. There should be some growth and development. Well, it's interesting that there was a research done in 2013 in the UK. It reveals that men have an 11-year lag behind women when it comes to maturing. Anyone surprised by that? I think it's fantastic. I'm just going to blame that. Fantastic. And according to the study, the average man doesn't reach full emotional maturity until 43. 43, while women mature by age 32. I think that's generous for the blokes. But the process of actual emotional maturity starts in girls around 10 or 11 and with men possibly around 20 onwards. And they say that the brains of females are further along in the reorganization process than men and probably work a little bit more efficiently in that space. So yes, there are differences. Society would try to maybe beg to differ, but research would tell us and the Bible would tell us that there are differences between men and women. Anyway, let me just give you an example of understanding. So yes, there is this natural progression that can take place, but sometimes people still have the understanding of a child. When I was a child, I understood as a child. So let me give you an example of understanding. You're having a conversation with somebody. You communicate this to them, but they walk away thinking you said that. But I said this, but they heard that. See, it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter. It's what they hear. It's what they perceive. It's what they go away understanding what you've said. So I think I've been really clear. I've said this, and I've been clear. Can't make it any clearer. It's in writing. I can't make it any clearer. But I'm not living in their world, whatever universe, galaxy they're from. They've heard that. That's their reality. So therefore, when they go away and do that, it's not this. So what happens to me? I get frustrated. I get disappointed. I get hurt. I get annoyed. But I'm supposed to be the bigger person, Matthew 18. So I go to them. If they've kind of not sort of done what I've asked or after the conversation, because this is what I'm thinking, but that's what they're thinking. And I go to them, hey, this is what I was saying. They go, I didn't hear that. I heard that. And you've got to bring clarity. Can you see kind of like just how easy it is to get what? Misunderstanding. But what does clarity and understanding bring? It means that you're both on the same page. It means that expectations are clear. It means you know exactly where you stand in a given situation and a given circumstance. That's why it says, in all you're getting, get understanding. I think that as a pastor, I can't help people I don't understand. In case you didn't get it. I can't help people I don't understand, or we as a team, pastoral team, we can't help people we don't understand. What does that mean? It's both. We've got to seek understanding, but we've also got to be willing to be understood. And so when it comes like our responsibility, I can't just kind of sit people down, whether it's an individual or a couple, and talk to them and just go, before getting any idea of the picture, the backstory, there's two sides to every story, hearing some of the context of the situation and hearing some information, getting some understanding of what's going on to apply the right strategies and keys for reconciliation, for improvement, for some kind of solution, if you get what I'm saying. So it is so important for us to get understanding. What about individually? That's between people, but individually, it's so important for us to get understanding when it comes to God. Why? Because life happens, right? Tough times happen. And We kind of go through a situation, and I thought this is what God was saying. But God isn't saying this, he's saying that. But I'm leaning on my own understanding, because I know what I want, and this is my understanding, but this is not what God's saying. And so what do I do in this situation? Do I get all upset? Do I get all riled up? Do I whinge and complain? Do I go and talk to everybody else about it? No, I need to go to God, say, God, this is what I thought you said. And God's going, that's not what I said at all. I'm saying this. And we start to actually get understanding. So how often is it that we actually hang in there and we endure people? Like so many of the authors of Scripture, the prophets, they would actually go, God, you know, I don't actually understand what you're saying. It's okay to admit that you don't know, because God knows you don't know. And let's get over ourselves and our pride and actually just go, well, I thought it was going to be this, but God's going, no, it's actually that. And so in the midst of those trials, you know, and we know that those things are there to stretch and change and challenge us. And as Mark beautifully said in communion, preparing us for potentially that something's next. So God wants to take us as a grape and he wants to see us changed into wine. But what happens is that it requires pressing and crushing for the grape to be squished and squashed for wine to be produced. It's a theme of wine happening here tonight. So when you're going through the pressing and the crushing, you're going to actually allow yourself, by seeking to understand and staying close to God. Can I just say, if we stay closer to people than we stay closer to God through a challenging situation, I think that we're setting ourselves up for disappointment. I'm not saying we need people, but if we're substituting God with people, there's a problem. Because people can interpret the situation through their own understanding, but it's not their understanding to seek his understanding of the situation. Do you get what I'm saying? It can save a whole bunch of heartache and time, I think. So you're going to be pressed and crushed to turn out wine, or you're just going to whine? The choice is yours. Above all else, get understanding, people. Do you know one of the things is that we've got to ask ourselves, have I got the right understanding? Have I got the right understanding? Most work situations and dismissals happen because of a misunderstanding of personality or a misunderstanding of expectations. It's important to get understanding. And as I said before, particularly in the work environment, if you don't understand or if there's something going on, maybe you need to humble yourself and have a conversation to get clarity around the understanding. Do you have the right understanding, or do you have the understanding of a child? What's the understanding of a child? I want. It's mine. It's not fair. No. Why? It's not my fault. So what language are we speaking which reflects our understanding, where our heart's at? You know, counseling for the most part is helping you to understand you. By that I mean it's helping you understand what you've been through, what you've felt, what you've seen, what you've experienced, so you can actually get a different perspective on that. So you actually start to understand you as much as the situation itself. It's about understanding. Above all else, get understanding. And so can you actually see how important this is just in life and the dynamic of relationship? Could you imagine with us as a church, if we jumped on board this with one another, even after this service tonight, we actually genuinely sought to understand other people in this room? Can you kind of like just start to put the pieces together of what that would mean for strengthening of community? Just going, you know what, if that person annoys you, find out why. Surely there's somebody in this room that annoys you, surely. But as far as community goes, could you imagine what this could do to help strengthen what is already in existence, that we're not just kind of like sitting there wanting to talk all about ourselves, but actually ask questions, inquire, find out people's stories, and just have those conversations. But also, can I challenge us all tonight in this area of faith, grow in your understanding of who God is first and foremost. Let's grow in our revelation understanding of who he is and grow in some particular way in the area of our faith. And we've got the first fruits giving next weekend, and that may be an opportunity for you to step out of coming from being a childlike or into adolescence to teenage, into adult, whatever the step may be. Or maybe you're not at the first fruits thing yet. Maybe it's just starting with just giving regularly of tithes and maybe some offerings in there somewhere, but that may be something. We can seek God around getting understanding from Him about how we should respond in those situations and circumstances, whether it's serving. You know, we want to be prepared as a church, not just cope with growth. Which means that if you've been sitting in this church for a few months now, then it's probably time for you to start thinking about how can I actually contribute back to the family. In a host team, great first entry point into service in the life of the church. And there's other areas. Okay, let's keep moving. So that's speak, understanding, thought. I thought like a child. And I kind of like touched on some of those things of understanding as a child and how kids think. But, I mean, I was just thinking about it this afternoon because being a kid. Children think they can fly. They think the moon is made of cheese. That soon means in a couple of seconds. That money grows on trees. That the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, block your ears. And Santa, if there's any kids in the room, are real. That mum and dad are real life superheroes. That's how kids think. That the world revolves around them. If I ask enough times, I'll get it. If I whinge enough, I'll get my own way. And sleep is something I don't want to do. How things change. But that's how kids think. God's word desires us to think differently, to be in the world but not of the world. He wants to transform us by the renewing of our mind. He wants us to immerse ourselves in His word so His word can then begin to transform the way that we think, the way that we see the world and interact with people, and that the way we begin to understand people, the situations, the circumstances that we're in and maybe even that others are going through. So God doesn't want us to stay as a child. Because what does it say? But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I put away, that is to put down, to do away with, to give up, to let go of. In Roman culture, Paul writes it in this way, putting things down. Interestingly, there was a particular custom where boys and girls became men, or women in society. Boys became men, girls became women. There was a particular day that was designated for them to do that. The boy would offer a ball to Apollo and the girl would offer her doll to Apollo to show that they had put childish things away. So it was actually a physical act. And we're called to put childish things away. Those things that represent a level of immaturity. Galatians 4:1 says this, "Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is the owner of everything." That's fascinating that child, in a sense, is the owner but hasn't stepped into the maturity to be able to actually take the responsibility of owning everything. And that process of putting things away and coming into a process of maturity, actually, spiritually, Jesus Christ has provided us with everything that we need. We've been handed everything. We've been adopted into His family as sons and daughters of the living God. And so therefore now we're described as heirs of the kingdom. It's amazing that we have all this authority and power and blessing available to us, but staying in a childlike state means we live beneath the full of what God's got for us. Yeah. And so that's why we're called to put things away. Put them down, get rid of them, and start walking in a greater and deeper level of maturity. Amen. There we go, let's pray. Father, just thank You for tonight. I just thank You that You love us the way we are. You see the broken stuff that nobody else does, and yet You still relentlessly, unconditionally love us. Father, I thank You that those things which are, if we allow You to, covered by Your grace, Lord God, don't have to limit us from growing into who You created us to be. And so, Father, tonight, just just pray that your word would just resonate and marinate, that we'd take time maybe to think about what areas of my life that I'm either stuck in or I need to put down, put away, and grow in, whether it's our speech, our understanding, or our thinking. I pray we'd actually be courageous enough and honest enough with ourselves to do that and allow you, Holy Spirit, to maybe reveal, not for somebody else in the room, but for me. So, Father, I just thank you that you love us the way that we are, but you'd love us too much to leave us the way we are. So, Heavenly Father, this morning, tonight, just ask your blessing over your people. May we be a people that are going and growing on a daily basis, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.